Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Maria Carter. Well, we're moving from eye sheets to talking about bows and arrows. Our guest is Eric Edwards from the Missouri Department of Conversation. He coordinates the Missouri National Archery in the Schools program and is joining us by phone from Jefferson City. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I am doing well. Well, Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in archery?
Well, I grew up on a farm in rural Missouri, in east central Missouri, and hunting and fishing and being outdoors was just kind of a natural thing, just a way of life, I guess. And so I grew up with it. I started off with rifles and shotguns, and when I wanted a little bit more of a challenge, I got into archery hunting and archery shooting. I had a lot of friends that shot in competitive side of archery, and I always liked that side. I never got into it much, and I was fortunate enough that in my adult life to come to work for the Missouri Department of Conservation and worked a lot in the shooting sports and got back into archery after kind of some time off after my kids got a little bit older and allowed me some more free time to get out in the woods. And the Missouri Department of Conservation started this, joined in with the NASP program in 2007. And I was fortunate to be one of the first ones to be trained and get to learn about this program and just kind of took off from there.
And, well, why bring archery into schools?
You know, it's a program that has over-succeeded it, for what it was originally intended for. It started in 2002 in Kentucky. Kentucky had a very high rate of dropout and truancy and low GPAs. And so the education department there in Kentucky was looking for some type of program to get kids involved in school, to have them excited about coming to school, to get them involved in the community. And so several different agencies kind of came up with different programs, and the Kentucky Fish and Game Department there came up with this Archery in the Schools program. And their first year, they wanted 20 schools to participate to see how it would work and then kind of reevaluate it and go from there. By the end of their first year, they had over 100 schools because it was so popular and it worked so well. And from there, it just spread. In 2004, they started letting other states get involved in the program. And currently, it's in 47 other states and five other countries besides the United States.
Kansas City, are you or your child an archer or interested in giving the bow and arrow a try? Tell us your thoughts by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or post your comments to Facebook or Twitter. We're at KCURCST. And Eric, how long has this program been running in Missouri, and how many schools are involved?
We started the program in 2007 is when Missouri Department of Conservation staff was trained, and we did the same. We kind of modeled Kentucky. We started with 20 schools just to see how it ran, how much was involved, if there was any changes we needed to make because of Missouri standards. And so we started with 20 schools in 2007. The other day I just signed up our 289th school. So we have 289 schools participating in the program in Missouri. And our average is about 61,000 to 62,000 kids per year that go through the program in the state of Missouri.
So this is pretty popular right now.
It's very popular. It's really exploded. This time last year, we had 190 schools, so we've added almost 100 schools in a calendar year.
Well, I know the Hunger Games books have been some of the most popular in recent years, and the main character, Katniss Everdeen, one of her skills is archery, and I've heard that's inspired a lot of kids to, you know, give that a try or become a little more interested in it. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. Last year at our state tournament, I was amazed at how many of the kids I saw with the Mockingjay lapel pin. So it was one of those books that I honestly had not read. I have three daughters, and they had all read it and told me about it. And so after seeing all the kids and finding out what the Mockingjay was about, I went and I've actually read the books and seen the movies now. So yes, the Hunger Games. Last summer when the Pixar movie Brave came out, we saw a huge increase there from a lot of younger kids. The NASP program is designed for 4th through 12th grade, but the Brave movie really inspired a lot of kids younger than that were calling, wanting to know about NASP and other archery programs. And then to kind of complete the trifecta last summer, we had the men's U.S. Olympic archery team get silver in the Olympic Games, and they ended up beating the Korean team, which nobody thought that they could do. Nobody thought anybody could beat the Korean team. They had set so many world records, and the Americans were able to get past them and go into the medal round and ended up with a silver medal. So between the Hunger Games and the Olympics and the movie Brave, we really saw a huge increase in the interest of archery last year.
Well, we've mentioned two movies and books, I guess, with strong female characters. What's the gender breakdown of students you're seeing that, take up archery?
45% of our participants are female in archery, which is really amazing. Coming from a background in hunting and shooting sports where it's predominantly male participants, and to have 45%, even though that's not quite half, it's still a huge number in the shooting sports.
And have you seen that segment, the girls and females, really grow in your, over the past few years?
Absolutely. This last year, it's really grown, and some of the best shooters we have in the state right now are female shooters. We have some good male shooters, but collectively, the girls are becoming better shooter than the males in this program.
Well, I'm sure that's something for them to brag about.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Ed, you mentioned this is for 4th through 12th graders. How do you keep kids safe while they're participating in this?
Sure. Well, when they developed the program in Kentucky, they came up with the 11 steps to archery success. And so those same 11 steps, which is not only archery fundamentals but archery safety, is followed in every state and every country the exact same way. We use whistle commands, so that way, we don't get anybody mishearing something or think they heard something. We blow the whistle one time, it means shoot. We blow the whistle two times, it's get bow. We blow the whistle three times, it's go get arrows, and so on and so forth. So the kids know what the whistle blasts are. They go through the first probably two or three sessions in class. They don't even see a bow and an arrow. We use what we would call a string bow, which is basically a long shoestring, and we start with that. And we really don't emphasize. We emphasize that they're the proper way to use things. It's everything is based off of positive reinforcement. There is never a negative word that is spoken during NASP, and so it's positive reinforcement. And so we don't emphasize that it could be dangerous or anything. We do tell them, safety is paramount and there's absolutely no horseplay. And there's never been an instance of any incident in NASP in any of the states or countries that it's taken place in.
Okay. Well, Eric, we've got our first caller. Let's welcome Russ from Olathe. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
And you had a question.
I'm a teacher in Johnson County. Is this program available in Johnson County schools?
It is. It is. We have several schools and a few schools in Johnson County that are participating.
And this, I think, would be Johnson County, Kansas.
Kansas. Oh, okay.
Oh, do you know if this?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know there's another one in Missouri.
Yeah, it is. Kansas is part of the program.
Kansas. Sorry, I should have clarified.
That's all right. It is in Kansas. I, obviously, being the state coordinator in Missouri, don't have a whole lot to deal with that. But if you go to archeryintheschools.org, and on there it'll have a link on who's my contact, and it'll list every state coordinator. And so you'll just scroll down and find the person in Kansas and give them a contact and see how they go about getting the teachers trained.
And Russ, what grade or subject do you teach?
I teach at the high school level.
Are you seeing a lot of students interested in archery now?
No, but I thought this was a cool conversation.
I was just wondering. I see a lot of Mockingjay pins in the past year on high school students, so I thought maybe it had been a topic of conversation in the classroom. Well, thank you for your call, Russ.
I teach English, so okay, thanks.
Okay, well, Eric, how much money does it cost for a school to get involved in this program?
Sure. We have all the supplies come through NASP. And the nice thing about the program is everybody, whether you're shooting NASP in Missouri or Kansas or even over in Mongolia or South Africa, everybody uses the exact same model, bow and arrow. So NASP has what they call a complete school set, which runs around $3,000. so far, all the schools that I have dealt with have been able to find the money from other organizations to buy that. They very rarely will a school have to put out any money out of their own pocket. I know that's usually the number one question we get from school administration whenever we go in to talk to them about this program. It does cost about $3,000, but there's several great organizations in Missouri and over the country that help schools out with this because they see the positive results that come from this program. The Missouri Department of Conservation helps out with a grant. The Conservation Federation of Missouri helps out with a grant. The National Wild Turkey Federation is really big into this program, and they help schools out tremendously with funds. Whitetails Unlimited. We even have in one community, we have Procter & Gamble that has given money to schools to help buy these kits. So the money is available for these schools. Some of the schools, $3,000 is an awful lot of money for them to come up with, and we pretty much assure them with just a little bit of work and filling out some papers, they can usually get the money to pay for these kits without any expense incurred by the school.
And, once students get involved in it, is it something where they might buy their own bow and arrow to practice at home?
Absolutely. We found out through a national survey that 40% of the kids that participate in NASP go out and purchase their own archery equipment. And even on top of that, we don't have any hard numbers, but we find out that mom and dad and brother and sister go out and buy archery equipment too. And it becomes a family sport or a family activity. And they set up ranges in their backyard or they join a local archery club. And so it's really amazing how this program works not only in school, but after school and beyond school. Kids that have formed clubs and there's so many schools now in Missouri that have archery clubs that meet after school to shoot archery. And we have kids now that are getting into JOAD, which stands for Junior Olympic Archery Development Program. They're getting into Olympic-style archery shooting. And it's really neat because, like you said, it will go beyond the school. It'll get parents involved and find the activity that everybody in the family can get involved with.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm Maria Carter. Our guest is Eric Edwards from the Missouri Department of Conservation, and we're discussing archery. Kansas City, are you or your child an archer? What do you love about it? What do you tell your friends about why you practice archery? Tell us your thoughts by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888 or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. You mentioned the whole family gets involved. Where I grew up in southern Missouri, bow hunting was a pretty common activity. It's something that, parents did with sons and sometimes daughters. Are you seeing a response from more than just rural districts? Are you seeing suburban and city school districts get involved in this as well?
Absolutely. Probably our biggest concentration of MoNASP schools is in Greene County, Missouri, Springfield. Every school in the Springfield Public School System, which I believe is the second biggest school district in Missouri, has participates in NASP and MoNASP. So Springfield, St. Louis County, a lot of schools in St. Louis and St. Charles County participate in it. We're pretty mixed. About 50% of the schools are what I would consider rural schools, but then about the other 50% then come from Springfield, Columbia, Jeff City, Kansas City, St. Louis areas.
And Greg asks in an email, does the program include fletching and bowery? We might need to define those for me. And what types of bows are used, traditional long bows and or modern compound bows?
Okay. Everybody uses the Genesis compound bow, which is designed, it was built for this program, and you can use it if you're 4 foot tall, if you're 6 foot five, and we have kids that are those heights that'll be shooting those bows this weekend at our state tournament. Their draw weights are adjustable between 12 to 20 pounds. Everybody uses the Easton NASP arrow, which the fletching is included on that, on the arrows. Everything's pretty standardized, and everybody uses the exact same thing.
So these aren't the bows that we might have envisioned from Robin Hood or something like that.
No, they're not. You're not going to see Katniss shooting these type of bows in the Hunger Games. They are compound bows. They're a little bit different than your hunting bow because there's no let off. In a hunting bow, when you pull it back to full draw, you're not holding the full weight. With these bows, you're still holding the full amount of weight. But like I said, the maximum weight poundage is 20 pounds. So that's the amount of effort it takes to pull that string all the way back is 20 pounds.
Well, you know, let's talk about the physical skills necessary. You mentioned that, you know, there's some pretty young kids doing this and pulling different weights. You know, what does it take to become an archer?
Practice, you know, just pretty much with any sport. But the neat thing about archery is it attracts kids that are not your traditional quarterback or center or shortstop on your baseball team. Anybody with any of any ability can start and become very proficient at archery, because archery is more about muscle memory and practice and routine and doing it the same way over and over and over. We have kids in fourth grade. We have disabled kids with physical disabilities that shoot in this program, as well as we got high school kids. Like I said, we have a kid I know that will be at our state tournament this weekend that's 6'5", that comes from the southwest part of the state. So it's really neat to go to some of these tournaments or go to the schools and watch the kids shoot and see a fourth grader standing next to a 12th grader, and the fourth grader might be shooting a better score than the 12th grader because they're practicing more and they're more focused. So it's a lifetime skill that, you know, you could start it at fourth grade and you can continue on through high school and college and on into your adult years.
Well, and you mentioned focus. You know, whenever I've watched an archery in the Olympics, for example, it seems to just require such mental focus. That does that carry over for students from the, you know, archery into the classroom?
100% yes. I have heard so many stories from teachers all over the state and all over the country as well, that have kids, they put kids that have behavioral issues into this program, and it changes them dramatically to where they learn to focus, to think things through, to not just react, to think about the consequences, to really get their thought process improves greatly when they get into this archery program. Again, I'll go back to the 11 steps of archery success, and we teach those. There's kind of a rhythm to them, and it's, you know, you can't do step two until you do step one, and you can't do step five until you do steps one, two, three, and four, and it really helps kids focus in. These bows that we use are sight-free, so it's all instinctive shooting. So you're not concentrating on a sight, but you're concentrating on your form and your technique and looking at the same spot on the target every single time.
Okay, well, let's go to a caller to 816-235-2888. Rose in North Kansas City, good morning.
Good morning. I am enjoying the program this morning. I just want to make a request that as the instructors are talking to these children, I would like them from the very earliest ages to stress that the student and family members should never go on a piece of property unless they have the written consent from the landowner, because we see it that there are people shooting with bow and arrows in turkey season and in deer season. So I think if the child learns that early in life, they will remember to always get written permission from the landowner. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks for that call, Rose. Eric, what do you teach students about the rules of hunting?
Well, it's interesting, coming from a conservation department agency, that hunting is never brought up or talked about in this program. It's Olympic style or international style archery. It's target archery. So we don't even discuss hunting in this program. It's something that some kids may take up because of getting involved in this, but it's not the purpose or the goal behind this activity. So we kind of stay away from that, from those talking points. We would be more than happy, though, if the school was interested in having us come in and talk about hunting and archery hunting. We would do that, and that would definitely be one of the things that we stress. And our hunter education program and our bow hunter education program, that is some of the rules we talk about, our commandments of safety and hunter ethics. And one is to always have permission before you step foot on any property.
So there are other Department of Conservation programs that discuss those aspects of it.
Absolutely.
Well, this weekend there's a tournament for students in Warrensburg. Can you tell us a little bit about who's competing there and what they're competing for?
Absolutely. This will be our fifth state tournament We started at Lynn Tech, Missouri, 5 years ago, which is a smaller college here just east of Jefferson City, and we quickly outgrew that. This is our second year at the University of Central Missouri at the multipurpose building. This year we have 1,641 kids registered to shoot. We'll shoot a couple of groups Friday evening and then all day Saturday, and they'll be competing for first place in the elementary division, middle school division, and high school division, first through fifth place at the state level. So it's a long day. We'll have about 15 hours of nonstop archery shooting between Friday and Saturday.
That's a lot of bows and arrows there.
That is a lot of bows and arrows. I was going to quickly do the math, and I got sidetracked, but each student shoots 40 arrows, so 40 arrows times 1,641 kids, that's a lot of arrows to be slung on Friday and Saturday.
Okay. Well, Gabby writes in an email, "I'm not sporty and was not at school, but I somehow ended up being quite good at archery. We just had the old-fashioned Robin Hood bows and arrows and round targets, but I really enjoyed it, and it helped my confidence." How often do you find that's the case? A kid's maybe not involved in another sport, but archery is something that they can be good at or even excel at?
It's amazing how, and I wish I knew the answer as to why, but it's amazing how many times I do hear that. I was at a tournament about a month ago in the east side of the state, and the principal there was telling me that they had 82 kids. This is a small school, St. Clair, Missouri, like a 2 or 3A school, probably 350 or 400 kids in the entire high school. They had 80 kids come out for their archery club practice, and out of those 80 kids, 78 of them did not play or participate in any other sport or activity. It draws those kids that are not engaged in anything else. And I think it's because they don't have anything else to belong to for whatever reason. And everybody starts out at a level playing field. Whereas by the time you get to high school, there may be kids that have been playing baseball or basketball or soccer for 10, 15 years. But archery, it may be the first time everybody in that PE class is holding a bow for the first time in their life. So everybody kind of starts out at ground zero and builds their way up. And maybe athletes think they could do it better, or they try to relate to some other activity that they've done in the past, and they get away from the basics. And the kid who has not had any other kind of training listens and learns and follows those basics and becomes more proficient quicker than the other kids.
Well, and we've been talking about programs for, you know, 4th through 12th graders. Are there any programs for adults if they want to get involved in this?
We're starting another program here in Missouri that's kind of more on the hunting side, that's very basic, but it will have some archery skills in it too, called Explore Bow Hunting. And we're trying to work with local parks and recreation departments and get them trained and get them equipment. But the equipment that we use is the same equipment that we use in the NAS program. And that's designed for, that can be beginners, no matter what their age is, if they're fourth grade or they're 40 years old, and goes up from there. So we've just kind of dipping our toes in the water with that and just got started with that this year and hope to gain some steam and momentum and get that spread throughout the state this summer.
Okay, well, let's go to another caller, Ed in Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning.
Good morning. And I was fascinated by the discussion about the lifelong skills. I learned to shoot when I was about 10 years old or so. I'm now in my 60s. I'm a ham radio operator, and I use a longbow to install the ropes for wire antennas in trees. You have to be able to shoot 40 to 50 feet above ground and hit a specific limb, get your arrow up and over a specific limb to draw the antenna rope up. And it's interesting how 50 years down the road, I still do use that skill in a way that I could never have anticipated when I was a kid.
Well, have you heard of any other novel uses of archery, Eric?
I have not. That's very interesting.
No, I just thought that was a pretty good one, though. The lifelong skills aspect really is true, and you may or may not be able to figure out how you're going to use that skill down the road.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for your call, Ed.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. And we have one more caller, Robert from Lee's Summit. How are you today?
Fine, thanks.
And what's your question?
Well, just a very simple question. He had mentioned the program, Bo, as being a genesis, and I was wondering if that particular Bo with those with that particular capacity, I think it was 5 to 20 pounds.
12 is, to 20 pounds,
has
yes,
a commercial, has a commercial number. In other words, is it available on the market?
Yes, it is. You can go to pretty much any of your sporting goods retailers, and they will have the Matthews. It's made by Matthews, and it's called the Genesis Bow.
Okay. But there are several of those, aren't there?
They make a mini Genesis and a Genesis Pro, and kind of the middle of the line is the Genesis, and that's the only bow that we allow during NASP tournaments or school programs.
Okay. Well, I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And is that basically what you recommend for people looking to start out in archery?
Yes. The bow is kind of ingenious in its design that, like I said, it's designed to fit 4th through 12th graders. So regardless of your size, when you get into hunting bows, you want a bow that matches your draw length. Everybody's arm wingspan is a little bit different. And because this bow, as I was talking about earlier, has no let-off, that you pull the same amount of poundage all the way back, it doesn't matter how tall or long your arms are, it will fit anybody.
Okay, well, we're just about to wrap up here, so we've got a quick final question from all of mythology and story. Who is your favorite archery hero or heroine, and why?
Oh, it's got to be Fred Bear. it was the only hunting show on whenever I was a kid, and he went to exotic places that a farm kid from East Central Missouri could could barely fathom about, and shot a recurve bow and was very good at it, and just always impressed me at how accurate he was. So yeah, it has to be Fred Bear.
That's Eric Edwards from the Missouri Department of Conservation. He coordinates the Missouri National Archery in the Schools program and joined us by phone from Jefferson City. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you.
And earlier in the hour, we were joined by Professor Prasad Gojanini, director of the Center for Remote Sensing of Ice Sheets, or CRESIS, based at KU. You can subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR.org. Tune in tomorrow with the Food Critics as they search for the most delicious bakeries in Kansas City. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Suzanne Hogan. Kim Noble is our announcer, and our executive producer is Bill Anderson. Up to Date is next with psychologist Shane Lopez and his exploration of hope. I'm Maria Carter, and this is Central Standard.